Welcome to this BIOS podcast. I'm Christian Harris, editor of BIOS. As always, before I start, I'd just like to say a big thank you to Ipswitch for sponsoring BIOS podcasts. Ipswitch is the leader in messaging, network management, and data management software for small and medium businesses. Visit ipswitch.com, that's ipswitch.com, to download full function trial versions of all the company's software. Ipswitch software just works for small and medium enterprises in over 50 countries worldwide.
I'm Ann Swenson. I'm with Cisco Marketing for IP Communications. I'm here today with Rick Moran, our Vice President of Marketing for IP Communications. Welcome, Rick.
Thanks, Ann.
We're going to talk today about the ABCs of VoIP, IPT, and IPC. Rick, I'm hoping you'll be able to demystify these terms for us.
Well, that's certainly the plan, Ann. That's an awful lot of acronyms in a row. So let's start off by talking about them in order. I think the first thing we're going to talk about is voice over IP, or VoIP. You know, there's a lot of mystery in the market. VoIP basically is taking a phone call and transmitting it using IP protocol across an IP network. Now, that could mean the internet or a managed private network in a customer's organization. That's basically VoIP, so real no mystery behind it. And a lot of customers use it today to help reduce their toll charges, so a way to make their costs more inexpensive for telephone calls. Now, IPT, or IP telephony, the whole idea here is taking traditional voice services that you'd see on a PBX and offering them in an IP environment. So if you think about it, IPT works using voice over IP as a protocol. Interesting, a lot of people use it as well to give new features and capabilities and take advantage of some cost savings both on the network side and the management side.
Okay. Now, one of the questions that I always get, and that makes sense, but I always get this question about, what about voice over internet protocol? So that means you're going over the public internet, right?
Well, it could. I mean, voice, it's entirely possible. In fact, many offerings that people use in their residence will use the World Wide Web as the method of transmission. But most businesses are using voice over a managed IP network. And the reason they use a managed IP network is to give quality of service and also security, to make sure that the experience is every bit as good, if not better, than what they've had in traditional time division multiplexing or TDM markets they would have had today.
Ah, okay. So why are customers adopting?
Well, you know, the big thing for our customers is we're really looking at IP communications as the next level beyond IP telephony. And what we're doing here is taking more than just traditional phone calls, but actually integrating things like unified messaging, so voicemail and email, collaboration tools for both audio, video, and real-time text collaboration. And video is another important piece. So we call that IP communications, really extending a whole variety of functionality across an IP network. That's really the focus of the whole adoption.
Okay, I see. So IP communications really is a much broader definition, and that's why customers are looking at it probably more so than the other two that we talked about. How rapidly is this being adopted by customers? It sounds like IP communications is a great thing.
Well, you know, in actual fact, when we look at a variety of different external market sources, the charts that people can see on the video right now come from a company called Synergy. And in 1999, the whole idea of voice over IP was really just a dream in the sky. Here we are today, where more people are buying voice over IP or IP-enabled systems than ever before. And so the tipping point has happened. And the expectation is within the next 3 years, it'll be virtually impossible to find a traditional TDM PBX, and everything will have moved to the IP market space. So the adoption rate has been superb.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. So Cisco is playing in this area. What exactly are solutions? How are we leading in this area?
Well, you know, let me look at it architecturally. So we start off with a converged IP network. So all of this depends on having an extremely good, robust, converged, managed network. And on top of that, we put a variety of different services. So traditional telephony services, but also things like messaging, contact centers, collaboration tools for conferencing, etc., and tie them all together on this uniform converged network. Now, we wrap all of that with a security banner, so we look at security across the network. But what does all this do? Well, by putting them on a level playing field, we're able to make things work better together. I often refer to it as eliminating human middleware. Mm-hmm. You know, the challenge you probably have every day of trying to get some things, like to be able to make a phone call using the directory on your computer. We can make a lot of these things happen, and that's really the focus of Cisco's IP communications team. You know, let me give you a couple of examples. I think that would be real help here. So, you know, the whole idea of mobility. So how do people, you know, how do people work when they're not in the office? Because most people are out of the office a fair bit of the time. Well, on this slide, we've got a photograph of some people on board a Lufthansa flight at 35,000 feet using wireless broadband on the aircraft. Incredible. Well, of course, they could do fun things like instant message their friends, but how does it fit from a business perspective? From a business perspective, using IP communications, they have all the tools available to them they need to do on the plane. They can listen to messages. They can reply to voicemails and emails. They can join a conference call. A real change. And it doesn't matter whether you're sitting in an aircraft, in an airport lounge, in a hotel on the other side of the world, your kitchen table, or at your desktop. Mm-hmm. Really, IP communications allows you to have all the functionality what you need wherever you are. So the whole, we actually refer to it as virtualization, so basically making anywhere your office.
Right. You can pretty much work anywhere. That's wonderful.
Absolutely.
Good.
And now, let's look at a couple of other places. So collaboration. Now, you know, I don't know what your day is like, but mine certainly is spent with a lot of conference calls. And we've revolutionized the conference industry with a product we call Meeting Place. Mm. Now, Meeting Place does a variety of different things. First of all, it gives us traditional audio conferencing, so we can join multiple people together using audio conferencing. It also brings in video conferencing, so we can have multi-party video conference. It also brings collaboration in, so we can share things on our desktop, so I can show you an application or we can look at a file. But it does it all together seamlessly. So it integrates with a web interface or using things like Microsoft Exchange or Lotus Notes to make it really easy for you to set this conference call up. Think of the number of times you've been involved in setting up a conference that you get all the parties in line and then somebody wants to move it by an hour or 2 hours and you have to reset all these things up. Meeting place, drag and drop and move it to the new place. Now, actually, when you're in the session, we're doing some other things that are really unique involving something we call presence. Now, presence is the idea of knowing when somebody is available. So in Meeting Place, we've actually got a window that will show you who's in the conference call and what media they've joined. Are they on using voice, video, or data? Mm-hmm. And it'll also show you who's speaking and who's sharing. So I'm sure you've been involved in many large conference calls where it's hard to remember who's talking. Meeting Place changes that paradigm. And because it's IP-based, the service can be anywhere in the world and be referenced and used by anyone in the world, creating a virtual environment. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a third example. I mean, for most customers, their interaction with their customers is very important, and contact center solutions are a big piece of that. So IP telephony was the start of moving that. We had a lot of customers that put IP in to reduce trunking charges. But we moved to an IP communications environment. We create what we call the customer interaction network, which means all the call center agents, regardless of where they are, can work as one giant pool. Many customers actually do it for Follow the Sun, for example, that has a call center in California that when California closes its day, automatically transfers to Australia, then from Australia to Europe, from Europe to the East Coast, and then back again, allowing them to give 24-hour-a-day service without having to create unusual environments. Some really neat stuff happening here to improve customer interaction. So that's just a few examples of things you can do differently by using IP communications based on voice over IP.
You're right. Absolutely. I like, especially like the Meeting Place application myself. I use that all the time. Every day. It really enhances productivity. But I'm wondering, these are great applications from Cisco. They're all from Cisco and they're fabulous. Are there applications available from other folks or?
Absolutely. And I'm going to talk about it in a couple of different ways. So first of all, we designed our telephone sets with an XML screen. Now, XML is a programming language that developers all over the world use all the time. And we actually have used XML in a very, very standards-oriented format. So, you know, on the screen, people can look at 9 different applications that external third-party vendors have written to use our telephone. Interesting applications, for example, attendance, so we can actually make it easy for people to log in and log out at work. We can do inventory lookups. We can push advertisements to them. I've seen some very, very clever things. So that's just on the telephone set side. In the contact center space, our customer voice portal uses voice XML to allow people to write applications to it. Meeting Place integrates with several different instant messages message clients. So we've done a lot of things to make sure that Cisco stays standards-oriented and allows customers to build applications today using XML and VXML, and in the future, moving forward, more and more using things like the SIP or SIP protocol and Simple, which is, are really going to work together to give a whole variety of different ways that we can integrate voice into applications from other vendors.
Right, yeah, that really sounds wonderful, and I can see now when you're talking about the difference between IP telephony and IP communication really brings in all those other applications.
Yes, it does.
That's really great. You know, when I talk about with this that same subject with customers, they resonate with it, but oftentimes they'll still have a concern about security.
Well, security is a very big concern for everybody's network. I mean, we live in a world where, you know, it's very important to watch what's going on. And when we design Cisco's voice over IP solutions, you know, we've made some major changes to make it, you know, as secure, well, actually more secure and actually more robust than traditional TDM environments. So if we think about it, we built a matrix that goes from the infrastructure, so from the switches and routers that make up the core infrastructure, all the way through the applications. We use things like Cisco Security Agent across our applications, which proactively monitors the application to make sure that things are performing correctly and they don't see any unusual or suspicious behavior. We have things like digital certificates in our telephones that create trusted endpoints so that when you attach a phone to the network, it knows that it's an authenticated user. We also do a variety of different things from control and control management. Security is a very, very important piece. But the reason I say that IP communications allows you a different level of resilience is that we can geographically disperse the servers so that we can actually have the IP telephony service stretched across the country, across the city. And many people in their IPC environments will have a server backed up in their remote data center. So this is creating not only the data security, but also physical security to make sure their business performs, regardless of whether something disastrous or even a weather effect or a power failure.
Ah, okay. That's interesting. So it seems like we have it covered, especially with security and all these applications. How are we doing? Are customers really taking advantage of this?
Well, they certainly are. And, you know, in the time that I've been marketing IP communications, the market uptake has been superb for Cisco's products. On the chart that everybody's looking at right now, you know, you get an idea of basically the volume. We have literally millions of telephones in service today and growing every single day, representing tens of thousands of customers globally in a variety of different industries all over the map, from education to healthcare to traditional manufacturing industries to the transportation industry. And all different kinds of business sizes, so businesses as small as 50 and upwards of several hundred thousand. We literally have hundreds of thousands of contact center agents using our solutions today, millions of users using our voice messaging product, and millions of people making meeting place calls every single day. So this is a market that's grown well, and Cisco's really out in front of the pack.
Wow, this sounds great, and I'm wondering, there's so many customers taking advantage of it, but there's probably some out there saying, but wait, I want this. How can they take advantage of our solutions?
Well, sure, I hope they were interested. So we should really talk about it. We went through and looked at Cisco. Cisco's always worked very closely with partners, but we had to create a special relationship with partners because working with IPC is actually learning how to build and install an application. So we have a variety of different partners around the world that are IP communications certified. And some of them are certified to do smaller, straightforward installations, and several that do systems integrations all the way up through complex contact centers. So here's an example of a few of the people that we have today, large system integrators across the world, and also a wide variety of small and mid-sized companies that can do great implementations. So I strongly suggest users have a look at our partners that are available to do IPC for them.
Wonderful. So we've got these applications. We've got the way to get them out to customers. Customers are adopting. What's next?
Wow, what's next? The imagination boggles. I'm going to divide into three real pieces. And we have this graphic behind us, and it's on the screen for everyone to really look at in a little bit more detail. First of all, let's talk about the whole idea of unified communications. So, you know, there was the voice call, there was the data call. Now we're really actually going to create an environment where we've got voice, video, instant messaging, all kind of blending together. New devices are showing up every day. We've recently made some announcements about an integrated phone that provides wireless or Wi-Fi access along with traditional cellular service. You have one phone that does both. We're going to see some very interesting devices that unify those elements together, integrating your buddy list from instant messaging, integrating video. The second thing is applications are becoming more aware of the network. We call it application awareness. So the idea that the network and the application work together so that when you have a voice call or a video call that requires specific transport mechanisms across the network, that in the event that there's network congestion, that voice quality remains consistent. So really creating this environment where the application and the network work seamlessly together, because today all of the applications really do depend on network and network performance, but each of them have different parameters. And the last piece of this on the availability is global connectivity. Every day, more and more bandwidth becomes available. The prices keep getting more and more attractive. We work with customers today to create architectures for their business using broadband that even a year ago would not have been economically logical. And I can't even imagine. You know, we announced in May of 2004 our CRS-1, which is a very, very large routing system, in fact, 92 terabits. People wondered at the time, how would you use 92 terabits? And we've already got customers today that are saying, I think we can go beyond that. So very, very interesting stuff. And for the people watching this, I also recommend they look at some of the resources we've got on our web pages. We've got white papers talking about future direction, myths about voice over IP, how to secure for voice over IP, and application examples talking about how customers use it in real life.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time, Rick. This is great information. You've done a wonderful job in terms of demystifying these acronyms that we have out there, the ABCs of VoIP, IPC, and IPT. Thank you so much for your time.
I'd also like to thank Ipswich again for sponsoring this BIOS podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please visit ipswich.com, that's ipswitch.com, to download full function trial versions of all the company's software. And remember, for all the latest IT news, reviews, and technology issues, please go to BIOS's website at www.biosmagazine.co.uk. I'm Chris Harris. Thanks for listening.